Growing up, I often said I had a drug habit. My mom and dad drugged me to church on Sundays and drugged me to church on Wednesdays at times. And so I think this one ear is longer than the other because I got drugged to church a lot. And I'm not speaking bad or for or against any church, but as I went to college, I came to Christ in July of 1996, and by January of 1997, I was in Bible college. So from that five-month period, I was involved in a church as a believer for the very first time in my life. And so it was different for me, and I would assume it was different for all of us to be, I don't know if you've ever sat in a church service lost. I don't know. I don't know if you've ever sat in a church service when you didn't know Christ. And praise God if you were to say, I don't remember because I was five when I came to Christ. Praise God. I do remember sitting in church services when I was lost. I didn't know Christ. And then I remember times when I was sitting in services when I didn't know Christ. And it's really, it's His breath. It was different for me, and then I went immediately from that 5 months. We moved to Lancaster, and I become more involved in ministry because I was studying for ministry. Even though I was only 5 months old in the Lord, I was starting to work in ministry. At 5 months old in the Lord, I started to work in ministry. And I don't know if the people that were giving me the opportunities knew I was only 5 months old in the Lord. I never asked them. I kind of remained silent on that. I'm in Lancaster Bible College. Oh, then you can do ministry. I'm only 5 months old in the Lord. I don't even know why they call the book of Judges the book of Judges, but here we go. I'll tell you what, it's been a hairy ride. And then I come to the church in Clappertown after I graduated, and Clappertown people are amazing, loving, crazy people because they hired me. They actually paid me to come there and do. I was at that time, I was now 4 months old, or 4 years old in the Lord. And so I'm sitting with guys that have been walking with the Lord for 50 years. And I began to look at what the church looked like, and I began to get a picture of some of those saints that were knew what the church looked like. And I studied in college. And what is the church? What is the church? What are we? And there's no question you go to Acts in chapter 2, and it kind of makes a list in verses like 40 through 47. It starts to give you a list of what the church does, or what the church is about. And this is not the message. This is kind of, I want to get to number 7 here today, but we got to know that the church is kind of like a puzzle. And it's got multiple pieces to it. And sometimes the pieces got rolled edges. You're just going to have to give us a break. It's like bus driving. People ask me, how did you like driving school bus? I said, great, until the kids got on. Driving school bus and hauling kids is two different things. It's like that with a church. It's really good until people come. And then we're kind of messed up, and we're kind of broken, and we're kind of, our soul, we got stinking thinking going on. And all of a sudden, God puts all those people into one room. Says, woo, have fun. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's just flat out, I stink. And so do you, just to be honest. But God took those people of the church. He's called them the church. We know the church is not this. If you ever get a text from me or call, I'll meet you at the building. I never call this place a church because this isn't the church. This is a building where the church meets. So the church gathers, but as the church gathered in the early church, we see what they committed themselves to, and so they committed themselves to the Word of God or the apostles' teaching. We know that the fellowship, and that means the friendship, and they began to like each other. And listen, I said this before, but Jesus chose Matthew as a disciple, right? Matthew was a tax collector. He partnered with the Romans. You know who he chose? Simon the Zealot. You can do the research on what a zealot was, but he wasn't partnering with the Romans. I'll tell you that right now. He would stick a Roman anytime he got a chance with a knife. And Jesus said, oh, I think you two would make good team members. So they had to work on the fellowship. And the church committed themselves to the fellowship. Just so you know, Peter preached one revival service and 3,000 people come to Christ. We're talking about 3,000 brand new believers showing up for the very first time in a meeting somewhere, 3,000 of them, and say, now where do we go? And they started to commit themselves to things. And they committed themselves to remembering Jesus or to communion, to testifying. They committed themselves to prayers. They watched wonders and miraculous signs. And I'm beginning to see that, just so you know, where our kids are beginning to hear from God like you cannot believe. Our kids, God's given our kids dreams. I got a prophetic word from a 4-year-old right here in this body just a few weeks ago. God is showing up in the middle of our kids' lives, in the middle of the night, and they know that it's Jesus. God's doing a work. God's doing signs and wonders among us. God's doing a work. And the believers were all together, and they were giving to the needs of each other, and they were praising God. And those being saved or those coming into the faith were added daily. So no wonder they met outdoors. I don't know where they were meeting. Can you imagine if we every single day, just someone, that's at least 7 people every week showing up here. Brand new believers every single Sunday. 7 new people show up. I came to Christ this week and I have no idea what I'm doing. Can you help me? Sure, come on in with the rest of the stinking people and we'll get going. And then next week, 7 more show up. And next week, 7 more show up. You can do the math. 7 times 52 is what? 364 people. Just so you know, next year at this time, there'll be an additional 364 people coming to worship God with us. We're going to need to meet outdoors again. And they were committed to these 9 things, and they watched God do miraculous things through them. People coming to Christ. But I want to broaden on number 7. Number 7, push the button. And number 7 says this: they selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. The provisions were physical there. They needed physical provisions. The provisions that it's talking about is physical provisions. And people that had were giving so that people could receive what was needed. And so they saw a need, and God so moved in the hearts of some to be able to give so that provision could be taken and given to someone, or get a provision for someone that so desperately needs that provision. They were committed to that. Meeting the physical needs of someone does way more than we think. Let me say that again. Meeting the physical needs of someone does way more than we think. I was called one time, do you want to advertise with us? And I said, how much is it? They said, how much is your advertising budget? And I said, it depends on if the lady or the guy down the street needs fuel oil in his tank. That's the honest thing. Because I'm really not going to put an ad in the newspaper if someone's cold down the street. I'm going to put fuel oil in their tank. They won't worry about advertising. God can do something, but I will not advertise when someone's going cold. Meeting physical needs of people is more powerful than we think. We need to be in the business of meeting the needs of people. In the last couple of years, in the last 2.5 years, I have received money from individuals. Some of you have come by and you just look at me now and you hand me $20 or $40 or $50. And I know now, I know what you're thinking. I know you're saying, someone's going to need this. And I don't know who it is, but someone's going to need this today. And undeniable by the end of the day, there's someone who needed gas. There's someone who needed medicine. There's someone. And I took it out of my wallet. I took it out of my pocket. And I put gas in their tank. Or I bought medicine for them. Over and over and over, I've watched God do that with $20 or $40 or $50. I've watched it. People here and all the people in our community and local business owners, people that aren't even new lifers, that are calling me, that have said, one person called me and said, I want to send you some money. Because this is the quote. I want people to know that God is real and He's active in their life and He will meet their needs. And I think you can help me do that. Can I send you some money so that you can do that? I said, sure. So a couple days later, I got a check in the mail. And this post-it note was on the check. It said this, your choice, thanks. That post-it note was on a check for $12,500. When God moves in somebody's life, meeting the physical needs of people are way more powerful than what you think. And the early church knew that. And the early church had business people and people. Didn't matter if it was $20 or $40. I didn't need $12,500 when putting fuel in somebody's tank. I needed $40. And God provided it at that moment. I have watched money come through the doors here on just this purpose. Perhaps up to $40,000 in the last 2 years from business owners, from local people, from people just stopping by. And we have repaired homes with that money. And we have purchased vehicles with that money. And we have purchased washers and dryers and ranges and refrigerators and diapers and food and medical needs. And we have filled oil tanks and we have paid electric bills and we have purchased beef. We had to get another freezer from Jacob's Way just to get the beef we bought the other day. A butcher called me and said, I got 1,000 pounds of beef. Do you want it? Absolutely, I want it. How much is it? It's $1.50 a pound. I'll take it all. We have covered rent. We have literally clothed the naked, and we have fed the hungry, and we have cared for the sick. And we have paid funeral costs when someone passed away and no one had any. Can you imagine being turned into collection because you couldn't pay for the funeral of your loved one? Can you imagine that heartbreak? Not on my watch. And not on our watch. And we have plumbed houses in Texas. And we have sent medical equipment around this world. We have sent medical equipment to the women's hospital in Kachura, South Africa. And I always find it interesting that the flat of stuff what we got from Ward Trucking, when they throwed it out because somebody rejected it at the hospital, and we're just getting ready to send that stuff, and we're helping pay for the shipping container to go over there, and we get a whole skid of neonatal IV start kits. And it finishes up the container and goes to a women's children's hospital in Africa. You can't tell me that God doesn't meet the physical needs of people. We have done a lot of things. But there's one elderly lady that has taught me so much during this journey. One amazing lady whose heart for people and her own admission, but I need hands to go with my heart. Will you be my hands? That's what she asked me. Will you be my hands? Can you and I partner together? I want to send you some money. And I want you to meet needs of people, whatever you think. And I want you to do that. Will you do that for me? I said, I will do that for you. And so money came. And things were accomplished. And one of my favorite things to do is to write a note, and I kept track of everything that I did with her giving, because I wanted to celebrate with her. Now, people that give it from the community and this guy, whatever your choice, thanks, he said, it doesn't even matter. And this elderly lady, it wouldn't matter either, but I just want to celebrate with her. And I start to list everything, and I start to record everything that we've done and I've done. I usually handle this one personally. Everything else goes through New Life. And I make a list, and at the end of the time, I write her a note, and I make a list. This is what we've done with your heart. Because you had a heart to meet the needs of physical people. And meeting the needs of physical people is way more powerful than you can ever imagine. I recently talked with her. To be honest, I'd only talked to her on the phone before. And I met her the other day. And she was sitting in a chair, and she was at an event that was very heart-wrenching for her. And she was sitting in a chair, and I come through the line, and I knelt down. Because she was in a chair, and I knelt down on my knee, and I began to talk with her, and all of a sudden she was told who I was, and she grabbed my hands and she pulled me close, and we began to talk in that most earth-shattering experience of her life. We began to talk as she pulled me closer, and we shared a few words about how thankful she was for my hands, and how thankful I was for her heart, and what we had accomplished together. And she said these three things to me. I'll never forget it. I'm amazed at how much you can do with so little. If there's ever a need, you must let me know. I have way more than I need. I will never forget those words. I thought I was hearing the voice of Jesus. I thought I was kneeled at the Master's hands, at the Master's lap. I thought I was kneeled before the Master, and I thought I was hearing Him say, I am amazed at how much you can do. Your faith, amazing. It's already happened in the Bible. The centurion's faith amazed Jesus. I am amazed at what you can do. If there's ever a need, son, you need to let me know. Then I heard Jesus say, I've got way more than I'll ever need. Will you be my hands and my feet? Will you be my hands and my feet? You were her hands and her feet. Will you be mine, Jesus says. Will you be my I have way more than I ever could use? You must let me know. And you know how a lady in her 80s says must. You can just feel that. You must let me know. Jesus is an amazing master. Jesus is an irreplaceable master. You know why? You know why the secret is in the Gospel of Mark? You know why Jesus is the amazing master? Look at these passages. Jesus asked, who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ. You are the chosen one. You are the anointed one. You are the Messiah. You are the one to bring God's promises to this earth. You are the mailman, is what that means. God packaged the package. He gave it to you, and you are the Christ. You are the one who delivered the goods to the people. That's who you are. You are the lead servant, is what Peter is saying there. You are the one who served and did the Father's will. Look what it says later on in Mark. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. I came as the hands and the feet of the Father. That's what He's saying there. And He's the irreplaceable Master, the amazing Master, because He knows how to serve the Father. He knows what it is to be the hands and the feet of the Father. And that's why He asks us to be His hands and His feet. Will you? You got to let me know. You got to let me in on this. You got to let me know when there's a need. Because meeting the physical needs are way more powerful than what you think. He is an amazing Master, He's amazing, He's irreplaceable.
because He is the servant and He is the master. Today's message is entitled this. Real creative, huh? Servant Insights from Mark 6. It will never be a book title because no one would buy it because that's kind of a boring title. Can I just give you some thinking points today? Because really, if I unpack every one of these points that I see in Mark 6, that a servant, that I think are ponder points, I call them ponder points. Can I just give you ponder points without going into all these points this morning and developing them all into their own message? Can I just give you the ponder points and you take them home and you ponder? Because I have a feeling you got the Holy Spirit too. And I have a feeling that I know that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Scripture. And so can we ponder? I'm just asking, what is the altar call here today for you to take at least one of these points and take it and write it down and put it in your truck or put it in your car or put it in your refrigerator and say, God, I'm going to ponder this point all week. That's what I want. That's what I think should happen from this message. Am I going to take an offering at the end? No. Am I going to say, oh, now it's time for us to collect everything? We're going to meet the... I'm not going to do that. I want you to just take one of these ponder points, or two, or three, or up to 11, because you're not getting 12. Just let me speak them out. Don't get anxious. I don't have 11 points to a message that's going to take the next 2 hours. But I got 11 ponder points for us to take away today. So let me look at it says in Mark 6, chapter verse 7. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. Calling the 12 to himself. Calling the 12 to himself. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. Now, just let me make the argument here. If we don't think that the enemy is not active in the physical world, robbing people of physical provision to breed hopelessness into them, we've been duped. And so if you've been given authority over evil, that means we have what a servant needs. God has given us the ability, the authority. Sometimes the authority comes in $40. And sometimes the authority comes when you stand against the house and you say, no more will you enter this house. So Jesus gave them authority. And I've always seen, for years and years and years, I never wore a tie. I always had gloves in my back pocket because I saw the servant, as the representation, as gloves. And I'd go to meetings, and I've learned now, it doesn't matter if you have a tie around your neck or you don't have a tie around your neck. I'm more interested in what's on your hands than what's around your neck. So if you want to wear a tie, go ahead. If you want to dress up, go ahead. I'm less interested, and I want you to be less interested in how people are dressed, but how are they equipped? And Jesus says, I want you to know right now, I want you to know right now, I want you to know this ponder point right now. The servant pushed the button. The servant pushed the button. The servant receives power and authority from the master. Are you with me this morning? You receive power and authority from the master. He's trusting you with it, Tyler Hall. And what are you going to do with that power and authority? Stop looking at our $20 as our $20. That is authority from Christ. That is authority from the... Stop looking at something you may have to meet the physical needs of someone else as just, oh, maybe, maybe not. That is authority that has been given to you. I can make that argument, and I promise that it would just ponder points that I wouldn't go in and develop each one of these. I want to. I'm resisting that right now because I think we got this spiritual, oh, if I could just glow in the dark and walk on water, just so you know, when you're going to put fuel oil in somebody's tank, you are glowing in the dark. You are walking on water because the enemy is trying to push hopelessness on them and desperation on them. And you, set by the master, given authority, walk in and give them what they need. And I'm telling you that is powerful because it is authority from the master. I don't care what you wear, but wear your gloves. So the ponder point is, I receive, as a servant, I receive power and authority from the master. Now I can't lick my fingers or turn my pages. The apostles, we're jumping down to verse 30 now. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. I find that very interesting as I went through that. The ponder point that goes with this is that the servant is accountable to the master. Let me ask you, when was the last time you sat before Jesus or made a list of everything that you've done with the authority and the provision that he has given you? When was the last time you gathered around Jesus? When was the last time that we all gathered around Jesus? When was the last time I gathered around Jesus and said, this is what I've done with what you've given me? Just like kneeling at the chair of the elderly lady. When was the last time we've done that? And just to be honest, I don't do that on a regular basis until this ponder point has just really penetrated my heart. And I think it needs to be a daily or a weekly thing, because I think you're going to be accountable. I'm going to be accountable for what I do with what God gives me, not only at the end, every single day. So what are you doing with it? What are we doing with it? What are we doing with what God has given us? Don't be afraid to go to Jesus and say, you know what? This might sound like bragging, and I'm not going to necessarily put it out there on social media, Jesus, but man, I nailed it this week. You know, I think that's what these guys were saying. I think they were excited to say, oh, you made what they had done and what they had taught. So there's doing and teaching, right? Jesus, you and I, you know what we did, man? I got to put fuel in somebody's tank, man. Man, I got to do this and I got to do this, and just spend time with Jesus and just telling him what you have done. He loves that. Let me say it again. He loves that. It's not bragging when you're doing it to the master. If it is, he'll deal with that. But don't be afraid to give an accountability to the master. Ponder point number two. Ponder point number three comes from this. Yeah, verses 31 and 32. Then because of so many people, because so many people were coming and going, and they didn't even have a chance to eat. I love that. It's the pieces of Scripture. Man, they didn't get a chance to get a sandwich. Jesus said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Jesus packed a picnic. I'm telling you, the more I study the Word of God, the more I realize God's a very practical God. Man, I'm hungry. I know I created you. You're in a physical body. You're going to need some special K. You're going to need a bologna sandwich. I got it. Don't worry. Come alone with me. Come with me. And let me breathe into you. The ponder point number three is this. The servant must spend time with the master. You can't go on your own. Just so you know, this is one that has really convicted me in the last week or so. I'm a border collie, all business. And I need to spend time with the master. How will I ever know what he wants me to do if I don't spend time with him? How do I ever know that if I don't stop long enough that he gives me authority? He wants to give you authority like you can't imagine. But we need to stop once in a while. We need to get in the boat with Jesus. Because one thing I don't want to run out of is authority. I don't care if it comes with a strip of paper with a dead president's picture on it, or if it comes with the crying out to God for a healing on someone. I cannot, and I'm learning this more and more and more, 22 years of ministry, I'm learning more and more and more, I cannot go without the authority that God wants to pour into my life and either can you. Ponder point. Number three, you must spend time with the Master. Verse 33 says this, but many who saw them recognized them and ran on foot to all the towns to get ahead of them. Who's the them they're talking about? The disciples. See, I always had read this, and they noticed Jesus, and they're all kind of running over the disciples to get to the Master. They didn't recognize Jesus. They recognized the servants. They recognized the disciples. The recognition came from the people to the servants. The servants were carrying the provision, and people recognized them. Ponder point number four, which is a powerful ponder point number four, is this. The servant needs to remember that they are not the master. People will recognize you as the provider of something, but you need to recognize that you're not the master. You're the servant. I'll tell you what, one thing, that really takes the weight off. It was easier to be an employee at times than it is to be an employer. Why would we want the harder job? Why would we want the master job? When he said, I just want to give you the servant job. This is an awesome job. The servant needs to remember that they are not the master. Ponder point number four. Ponder point number five. The servant needs to know that they are the very hands and feet of Jesus. You're not the master, but by golly, you are the hands. And you need to realize that. You need to realize that you are the very hands. You are the hands of Jesus. Don't try to be, let me say it again, don't try to be the master. It's above your pay scale. But my land, are you a servant to the master, giving you authority to meet the needs of people, to dispel the hopelessness and the garbage that this enemy and this world is trying to push down on them. And you have the ability to push it aside. I'm telling you right now, an 80-plus-year-old lady pushed away hopelessness on multiple families. We put money from that lady. We put money on an inmate's account so they could call out to their family. And right now, let me be honest, I really don't care your opinion about people incarcerated, whether they deserve it or not. I'm telling you, what they don't deserve is hopelessness squashing them to the ground while they're in there. I'm all for you broke the law, you need to do your time. But I will not, if we can do it with the authority of Christ, we are not letting people rot in prison. You and I are not the master, but we are the hands and the feet of Jesus. Verse 34. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them. So he began to interact in their life. Upon their point number six is this. Just take it home with you. The servant will be moved by the master's compassion. If you don't like to be compassionate, you're going to probably need to change masters. Try to serve money. You won't have any compassion. Serve this country. You'll have no compassion. Serve your own flesh. You won't have to worry about compassion. But when you serve this master, his compassion will rub off on you. Because he wants you to go where the need is. The compassion of the master took him to where the need was. Ponder point. The servant will be moved by the compassion of the master. Ponder point number 6. Verses 35 and 36. By this time it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. The compassion had not necessarily saturated them too well. This is a remote place, they said. And you need to get rid of these people. God, I'm up to here with people. They didn't pack a grocery. They didn't pack a lunch. It's on them. They should have done it. By this time, it was late in the day, and so his disciples came to him, and this is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late to send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Here's ponder point number 7. The servant may have feelings of being overwhelmed. I know. I know what it feels like to be overwhelmed. And God has really just told me, I want you to feel that. Because I want you to feel how big this job is. If you don't feel overwhelmed, you'll never realize how big it is. But if I can just give you a little bit of overwhelmed feeling, you're going to realize, wow. So the servant can have feelings of being overwhelmed. But he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, what? Did you check my wallet? It would take 8 months' wages. I don't know what you make a week, but you can do the math. Right? 8 months is what? 32 weeks, right? 8 months, 32 weeks. If you make $500 a week, just, what is that? It's $1,600. And they said, we can't, I don't know what to do, Jesus. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever come to the point when somebody is called with a need, and I've said, God, I have no idea what to do. Ponder point number 8 is this. A servant must know that need often takes more than the existing resources. Does that make sense this morning? It's going to take more than the existing resources. And I think that that's by design. He needs you to see how big this is. So he's going to give you some feelings of being overwhelmed. And then he's going to say, you do something, Dave. You do something. And man, I'd like to, but it's more than I got. Now we're in business, God says. Watch what I'm going to do. Woo, hang on. I know you might know the story, but hang on. God has taught me a lot through this feeding of the 5,000 that we're jumping into. You do it. I don't have enough groceries. Yes! My servant is at my feet. They realize it's a big job. They realize that they don't have it. Hang on. Buckle up, baby. We're all ready to go. I only got $20. I'm going to solve the problem with $20. He said, $20 won't solve the problem. Please don't throw $20 at a $2,000 need. You want them to have faith? How about you have faith? How about you take that $20 and offer it up to God? I don't know where else it's going to come from, but I will not throw $20 at a $2,000 need. But I will take it to Jesus. I will take it to Jesus. Verse 38 says this. How many loaves do you have? $20. How many loaves do you have?
He said, they didn't even know. You didn't even look at your bank account yet. You know that change you're saving in the hatch of the truck? You didn't even count it yet. You don't even know if you have enough or not. Will you go see? I love it when Jesus said, go see what you got. And they found that and out, and they said, we have five loaves and two fish. This is what we have, Jesus. This is what we have. Ponder point number 9. The servant must know that the master does not expect you to have it all, but he does expect you to give it all, to give all you have. Are you with me this morning? The master doesn't expect you to have it all, but he expects you to lay everything you do have on the altar. Everything you do have on the altar. And I don't care how much you have, you lay it on the altar, because the king, the master, is about ready to do something. It's not if you have more, it's just what you do have. Lay it on the altar. You want to watch him do something miraculous? Get your gloves on and serve the master. And bring what we do have to the altar, and watch what he's going to do. 2 more ponder points. Then Jesus directed them to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to the disciples and set them before the people. He gave them to his disciples to do what with? To set them before the people. To be the hands and the feet of Jesus. I'm going to give it to you, not directly to them. I'm giving it to you so you can give it to them. And he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them, and they all ate until they were satisfied. They must have been big fish. Hello, Jonah, are you missing a fish? Ponder point number 10. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. The servant must know that the need is never bigger than the master. It's never bigger than the master. The master expects us to lay everything we have on the altar. And when he gets done with it, he'll show you that what you have is way enough. Let me finish with this. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces of bread and fish. Just so you know, there was 12 disciples and 12 baskets full of fish and bread. Ponder point number 11. The servant ends up with more than they gave. The servant will always end up with more than they gave. How about a new life? Ready to serve the master? He's the irreplaceable master because he knows how to serve the Father. And he's letting us be his servants. And Mark, in his gospel, got to give so much evidence that he was here to serve and to equip us to serve. Stand with me today. Father, I thank you for these mornings. And Father, I know that I didn't mention it, but I know that just 2 years ago today was our first drive-in service. And I know that it was cold and that day too. Just to be honest, I'm happy to be inside. At times,
But I know what I'm not happy is just to stay in this room. I want to be the church, and I am the church, and we are the church. And you have given us authority. Authority comes in sometimes very practical, physical need, provision to meet the needs of people in our community. The people in this room, perhaps, as well. So, Lord, help us to be the servants. Help us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Let us hear, Jesus, I want to hear from you. Man, I'm amazed at how much you can do with so little. You must tell me if there's ever a need. I have way more than I need. Father, thank you for that truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.